everyone. Welcome to the In the Garage podcast by CarParts.com. I'm Mark DeGrasse. We have a very special guest today. We have Fred Padgett, the UX specialist technical products at Bosch, which, if you're familiar with Bosch, tons of awesome products that we actually sell at CarParts.com. So we figured we'd have him on the show, kind of talk about, you know, his experience in the industry, maybe some new parts coming out, and some of his kind of specialties that he talks about on Fred Talks. So welcome to the show, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's talk about the position itself, because I think, you know, user experience, a lot of people don't really, you know, put that together with car parts or, you know, manufacturers maybe. So let's just start with what is a user experience specialist at Bosch?
Excuse me. Well, the user experience at Bosch is a kind of a broad term. They use it for a lot of different things. A lot of it is really more dedicated to making things faster, easier on the internet, stuff like that. So for, let's say, my involvement with the user experience, my previous bosses decided that they wanted me to be able to talk to the customers and tell them more about Bosch products, the features and benefits, why you should buy Bosch over brand X or whatever. So they started what they call Fred Talks. So there's YouTube videos under Fred Talks out there. So you can bring up Fred Talks alternator starters, Fred Talks cabin air filters, Fred Talks TPMS sensors. And we've got a series of those that we've done out there. And the main thing is to educate customers on our product. And also kind of from a technical nature to help people out. A lot of times they have a car that's not performing right, not acting right, and to try to tell them, before you just yank this part off and replace it, here's a way to diagnose it, or here's something you should look at on this particular year, make, model, engine, a car, so that you don't put a part on and find out that you haven't solved the problem.
So, I love that. Well, a lot of people don't understand that that's kind of part of working on cars is figuring out the problem and maybe replacing some pieces that might not need to be replaced, just to find out if that is the problem, especially with older cars, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. Well, and to me, that's just, I'll say just the opposite. Older cars, you could develop kind of a sense of hearing. Or like your own decision tree to say, well, if it's doing this, then check this, check that. But nowadays, with the computerized cars, there's a whole decision tree that you have to follow. And you've got check engine codes and everything. So you've got to get the, as they call it, a DTC code and say, what does that four-digit or four-letter code mean? And then you've got to go to this decision tree that starts telling you where to check the voltage or where to check this. And if this is okay, then go check that. And it's time consuming. It's very precise. I mean, it'll take you right to the problem, but a lot of, like, let's say first timers or do-it-yourselfers aren't aware of that, or they don't have Bosch has a division that makes tools, diagnostic tools. Mm-hmm. We got one that's called an ADS-625 that you can plug in and it reads the codes and tells you what the code is. They don't have that kind of equipment. And they don't really want to have it. They, you know, they'll go to a retailer that says, well, we'll read the code for you. And if it says oxygen sensor, they're going to buy an oxygen sensor and throw it in there. But that might be the problem, but there might be something else causing that oxygen sensor to, you know, give a bad reading.
So I get it. So you're solving the symptom, but not the problem.
Right, right. So that's where some of the Fred Talks are going there to help out people that run into those problems. And, you know, even a lot of experienced technicians, you think about it, the car comes into the shop, they're under the gun to diagnose it, quote the guy, and then get the car fixed and get it off the rack and get it out of there as soon as they can. And they can be great technicians, but sometimes it's just like, well, 9 times out of 10, this is it. I'm going to throw that part in there and get it out of here. And then that's when they have an unhappy customer. And then again, the shop, you know, if the guy comes back and says, hey, it's still doing it, they don't get paid a second time. So, yes. You know, then they lose out. So. That's part of what the user experience thing is about, is just trying to make things better down the road there at the customer. And it's for, you know, our customer would be like car parts, and your customer could be a shop, could be a do-it-yourselfer. You know, we're helping you, not having a guy come in and say, hey, I put this thing in and it's no good. And you got to sit there and say, well, the customer is always right, even though I don't think he is, you know.
Well, and even in that, the customer doesn't necessarily want to be right. They want to have their problem solved. So the
Right.
fact that they purchased the wrong part, we want to take care of them. But I love how, what you're doing is actually going into the more kind of user-friendly type advice versus, say, a manual where it's like, do this and this and this, and might not explain why, or some of the kind of issues that you're going to run into, even if the manual says that. And it's like, oh, well, you have the 89, and the 89 actually doesn't do that, and they didn't update the manual right, and blah blah blah. So no, that's awesome work that you're doing. Now, in regards to say the do-it-yourself or going out and trying to fix a part and diagnose the part, do you have any advice other than do it more often and get that sixth sense of hearing, or is it best to go to the, you start with the codes? Is that where
Yeah,
they usually
the
go?
codes is the best thing. And again, if you can go to most retailers or maybe even car parts where you have these little handheld code readers, and if you get the code, you can Google them and you find out what that code means. And the nice thing, when at least when it comes to emissions related codes, it doesn't matter whether it's Ford, Chevy, Mercedes, whoever, they all use the same codes. So it's not like, oh, I got to plug this in under the Ford code or under the Porsche code. They use a universal code, so it's going to tell you the same thing. But at least that's the place to start. And again, I don't know what people have access to out there. There's Mitchell, there's ALLDATA, there's different, things you can go to start looking at that year, make, model of car and saying, okay, if I got this code, where do I take it through on there?
Well, I think a lot of vendors are trying to provide as much information as possible, but again, the kind of practical application might be a little bit different. Now, in regards of in terms of okay, so you identify the part. Why, just for Bosch, like what makes Bosch parts better than say other parts, and how do people kind of make that decision between your brand and somebody else?
Well, that's an easy question for me. What people don't realize, and again, in the US, a lot of people think of Bosch as being parts for European cars only. We've heard it a million times from our customers. Oh, I could put that in a Mercedes or a Porsche, but I can't use a Bosch part in a Ford or something like that. And what they don't understand is that Bosch is OE with all these car companies.
Really?
And so the parts that you buy from Bosch or that we supply through the aftermarket, they come from the same factories that the parts came from that went on the car when the car was built. They're built to the exact same standard. We don't have a OE standard and an aftermarket standard. It's the same product. The only difference, the OE product would have, let's say, maybe a Chrysler logo on it, and we can't sell a part in the aftermarket with the logo or the part number. So it's sold as a different part number, but it's built to the exact same quality specifications. Whereas another kind of common industry term is the white box product. Stuff that comes from offshore somewheres, you and I don't necessarily know exactly what country that's all coming from. And I'll give those companies credit. They're very good at copying things. The things look a lot like the original part. They'll even function. But what is the life expectancy of that part? How long is it going to last? And that's what people have to start training their mind to, especially like in my case, where I was telling you before, I put a starter on my truck that took 5 hours. You don't want to do that 5 hour starter again 6 months from now because the one you put in, just wasn't that good. So that's our big thing is innovation. Bosch has always come up with new technologies. And one thing that goes back to Robert Bosch himself over 100 years ago is quality. Quality is like the number one thing in all of our parts, and we will not sacrifice quality. It's going to be the first quality, best quality all the time. And
Love.
that's the big thing when it comes to replacing that part in that car and you're making that decision is, which one should I put on? You got to remember Bosch has a huge engineering staff located all around the world that works with the car manufacturers, and the car manufacturers or the truck manufacturers are telling them, this is the engine. Here's the parameters of what it's got to be able to do. Make me a part. Bosch works with them. And then we have a whole series of tests that these parts have to go through. They even have what they call five season testing, which once they've made a prototype and the manufacturer says, well, we think we like this, then they actually put it on a car and they drive it spring, summer, fall, winter, spring again. So it's actually on the road for five
Wow.
seasons, going through, all kinds of, weather and road conditions, everything to help prove that thing out.
Love that. Yeah, well, I think that's the only way to really prove it, because you could put it on a machine and run it 24/7 until you get to the amount of hours when it breaks, but that's not the same as somebody slamming on the brakes or,
Exactly.
driving through rain versus snow. So how does that process work? Is it just kind of like you have a set of employees that are like, hey, here's your car for the next, 13 months
No,
or what,
they
15 months?
Bosch in several locations around the world. Bosch has test tracks
Okay.
where we own the facility, and it might, like, we've got a facility up in Minnesota where they're driving cars and trucks on the ice in the wintertime for ABS and that kind of stuff. They've got several tracks in Europe where cold weather parts of the country or the countries over there, they're running vehicles all year long because they want to be able to experience all the different weather conditions. And it's not just the cold, high heat, humidity, in the south. I mean, you're from Texas and stuff. It gets pretty hot and humid down there, and you got to make sure that the part that's working in Minnesota works in Texas,
Does your car seem to be running rough lately? It might be time for some new Bosch parts. As an auto industry innovator for over 130 years, Bosch is synonymous with quality car parts. Get your ride running like new again with spark plugs, oxygen sensors, alternators, and other parts from Bosch. CarParts.com has a huge selection of genuine Bosch components for all makes and models. Check out CarParts.com. Your car will thank you.
Download the CarParts.com app and accelerate convenience with access to over 850,000 auto parts at your fingertips. We make it easier to find the parts you need anytime, anywhere. Get it now on the Apple App Store and Google Play.
Oh wow. Yeah, no, that's all other, levels of testing, because you also have like salt. If somebody's next to the ocean, they might have to deal with, salt water, which has a huge impact. So how does it work? So they do say they did the track test. Do they pull the part and then, I'm guessing, measure it, or how do you actually associate the wear and
Well,
tear?
I don't work in engineering, so I can't tell you all that because I don't really know it all. But again, yeah, they're taking it off and they're testing it on the bench, and then there's destructive testing where they take it apart and start saying, how is it after this much time? And they have, algorithms they can run it through and say if it did this, that means it's going to last this long, But again, you buy the white box stuff, you're not going to get any of that. That's where somebody took a picture of it at a trade show, went back to whatever country, said, okay, here's one, and it ought to work, And it's pretty hit and miss what you get out there,
Well, even just the material science that goes into the actual parts, like it's extremely complicated, and using the wrong material won't have the same, wear and tear, and the fitment is a problem. So in terms of, say, going with the cheap solution, what kind of problems could somebody run into other than it might break a lot sooner?
Well, like something like you just mentioned about the materials. Now, from my past experience with starters and alternators, they're made out of, combination of steel, copper, aluminum, and there are different grades of copper and aluminum, and some are a lot cheaper than others. So when they go offshore and they make this stuff, they're looking for a, very low price to bring it in to sell it cheap. And that's when all of a sudden starters don't have the same torque. Alternators don't put out the same current because they're dimensionally, maybe they're the same, but by using different materials, you don't get the same output out of them. So that's where you're going to start having problems where the cars are, especially like with an alternator. Just think about, again, Texas in the summertime. You're driving, it's hot, you've got the air conditioning on, you got a defogger going, somebody's charging their cell phone, you got the radio on, not to mention the ECU that runs the whole car. It's drawing current all the time. So the alternator's job and the battery's job are two different things. The battery's basic job is to supply power to the starter to start the car. And the alternator is supposed to be supplying current to the vehicle to operate the lights and the wipers and all that stuff while you're driving. Well, if your alternator can't handle the load, it actually starts pulling power out of the battery to help while you're driving. And car batteries are not like marine batteries, golf cart batteries. They're not deep cycle batteries. So they're not meant to be ch discharged all the way down and then
Oh, the
brought back
recharge.
up. So again, if somebody, gets an alternator made out of inferior materials, it's going to get into this what they call deep cycling. So it's going to wear your battery out, and your alternator is going to run real hot, and it's going to die an early death. And again, there's some alternators that are pretty buried on a car. It takes a lot to get them out of there, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that was the first time, actually maybe the only time I changed an alternator was on a 93 Mitsubishi Eclipse, which was super compact, and the whole thing was like buried at the bottom of the engine. So
yeah.
It was a ton of work. And I think even in that case, no, that was the fuel pump. Something happened, but I had to replace it because the part wasn't good. And I tried to drive it, didn't work. I had to go back in. And that's, yeah, probably the epitome of disappointing is after you do, you know, a ton of work on a car, then be like, and it still doesn't work, and you didn't solve the problem.
Well, and the other one, think about a fuel pump. Most cars nowadays, your fuel pump is in the gas tank. So to change a fuel pump, you got to, not all cars, but most cars, you got to drop the gas tank. Some cars have an access panel under the back seat, but the biggest percentage of them, you got to drop the gas tank. I live in the Chicagoland area. We call it the Rust Belt. If you get a, like, a, say, an 8 or 10-year-old vehicle, that is just a cake of rust back there.
Oh.
So now everything that you take apart to get the gas tank out generally breaks, you know, the bolts, the straps. So you've got to not only get it out, but you've got to replace all those parts, putting it back in. And again, when the fuel pump doesn't run, the car doesn't run. So you're stranded somewhere, and you don't want to have to do that again. It's a really nasty job, you know?
Yeah. Well, then you get the, you know, the actual invoice back, and you're like, well, we didn't just do that. Yeah. here's a list
of
others.
We had to do all this at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. But now you won't have to worry about it for, you know, probably until you sell the car.
And there again, like on the Fred Talks videos, we get into our products. So we did a video on our fuel pumps. And again, there's a lot of, let's say, precious metals that are in a fuel pump. In the level switch that sends the signal to the gauge on a dash, there's platinum, iridium, there's all kind of stuff in there to make that stuff last and give it the right signal. You get it off brand, they're probably not putting that same stuff in there, you know?
Off is expensive. No, those are fantastic points. And I think, you know, if people are considering that the super cheap alternative, like that's probably enough to not deal with it. And if you are selling the car, you should still do it just to be a good person, not set somebody up with a car that's going to break.
And, you know, cars now have, what I think it's since 2007, have TPMS sensors, you know, for the air pressure in a tire. We just launched our line of TPMS sensors, and we have a rubber stem one, and we have a metal stem one. But the metal stem one, when you go to install it, ours is different than all the rest of the ones out there. And that's part of the reason we did a video on it, because it has an extra rubber seal on there to make it seal better against the rim. But installers, when they go to put it in and there's a nut that they got to screw down, it starts binding up and they think, oh, I got something bad. The threads must be bad. And that's where we tell them, no, that's this extra rubber seal you're compressing, and it's going to seal better. And again, older vehicles, the rims aren't in the greatest shape. You have a lot of not just steel rims, but you have cast rims. We have problems with porosities and stuff. So again, that extra rubber seal is it seems minor, it's kind of like a rubber O-ring, but it's really valuable in making that thing last and solving the guy's problems for him out there.
Love that. Well, and actually that's why you should read instructions or watch a couple of videos, you know, to see, you know, what you think. Yeah. Well, because a lot of times it looks like something goes a certain way. I think we've all done that, where like, oh yeah, totally, this matches up, and then you don't, and you have to pull the whole thing apart in step, you know, 50.
Right.
So, yes, watch instructions. That's always a good tip. Now actually, I'm glad you brought up new stuff. Is that, you know, kind of the latest item, or what you guys got coming in 2024?
Well, we talked about this a little bit. What I discovered about a year and a half ago is that Bosch is OE with not only the car manufacturers, but with the what we call the power sports manufacturers. So that's like ATVs, UTVs, jet skis, motorcycles, marine. And so we've put together a program of the parts where Bosch is OE with those manufacturers, and we're bringing that to the aftermarket. So again, it's the same part coming off the same OE assembly line, made to the same, you know, OE specifications, but it should give the customer or end user a much more affordable repair thing than going to the OE dealer all the time. And
Love that.
probably so far, we got about 300 parts in line. We're adding more. One of the kind of exciting things for me coming out later this year, on motorcycles, for example, they want to get them safer and safer and safer. So they've gone to ABS brakes on them and what they call yaw control. It's this stabilizing thing that's going to help keep you from falling over.
Oh,
you know what they say of motorcycles? Two kind of riders, those that have been down and those that are going down. Well, hopefully this yaw control lessens that a bunch. Anyways, Bosch came out with that technology, and it seems that most of the motorcycle manufacturers have said, you know what, they created it, they know what they're doing, let's just go to Bosch. So, as I told you earlier, people think, oh, Bosch, you're for the European cars only. We're on the European makes, the big American makes, and the big Asian makes. They've all just said, we're not doing it, let's go to Bosch. So we'll be adding those to our program later this year, as well as other products that we've got out there. So I'm excited. It looks kind of interesting to do that.
You know? That's fantastic. Yeah, I do think there's a move, especially with the economy, how everything's moving, where people care about longevity a lot more than they used to.
If you think about the power sports stuff, jet skis, ATVs, you don't buy one for less than about $15,000.
Oh, so yeah.
these aren't throwaway toys. Okay, they're not like an old two-stroke from 20 years ago. It's like, I put it behind a barn. I don't care if I ever use it. This is kind of serious money. And, you know, like if you're driving your car and something on your car breaks down, you can coast over the side, call Uber, get a tow truck. If you're out in the water or if you're in a forest or if you're in a desert, it's a long walk or a long swim. Oof. And like marine, you can get a tow, but a tow on the water makes a tow on the street look like nothing as far as the price. Oof. So, again, the quality of the part, making sure that you've got the right part, is even more vital to those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you're talking about motorcycles, you don't want anything falling off while you're driving on the highway. Splitting lanes in LA.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do. And I can't even picture like something breaking while I'm doing just regular traffic even. So I love that. So in terms of technology, I know you mentioned the O2 sensor on the tires. Is there, you know, kind of new tech that you guys seem to be employing a lot more often now?
Well, I've seen some presentations and what they call ADAS, and it's not there, but it's coming down the road, and it's all about protection and sensors, big sensor technology Bosch is into. So, for example, if you're out in a rural area, Wisconsin, Texas has it too, you end up, sometimes people hit deers.
A
lot of times your new cars now have this forward sensing technology to sense that you're getting too close to the car in front of you and it'll slow you down. They're getting that so perfected it'll be able to pick up a deer and slow you down.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great stuff. The other thing that Bosch is into that really I think bodes well for the future, and now this is more in the heavy truck stuff, but the hydrogen technology, where the truck will run off of hydrogen, but it's not going to burn it like gasoline or propane or something. It has a converter that Bosch builds that converts the hydrogen into electrical energy, and it then is an electric motor. But the beautiful thing is the only emission is water. There's no carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, any of the bad stuff. It's just water. Now, that's going to be out there ways, but they've got the trucks running. I just read some. They've got some running in China. They've got them running in Europe. I mean, the technology works. The big thing is getting a distribution network of where you get the hydrogen. You know?
Yes. Well, the same thing happened with electric cars, right, where it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't actually build a network for this, and the grid's not really ready, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Are you guys actually speaking of that, are you guys building for electric cars as well?
We do a lot of sensors and stuff for them.
Okay.
I don't know about the motors themselves, but we do some sensor technology with them. You know?
Nice.
But again, Bosch is looking, as a company, Bosch is very, very environmentally minded. Don't want to do anything to negatively affect the environment. Very green. So that's why they're looking at this hydrogen technology, because you don't have lithium ion batteries that we're going to be, you know, how do you recycle those once they've lived their life and all that kind of stuff, you know? So.
No, that's huge. And it's I always love to hear the bigger companies, because you guys can make the investment into like the testing that you have, which is insanely expensive, and then also going green, which is prospecting a lot, at least with the hydrogen technology. Because I remember hearing stuff about that, like, oh, Toyota's skipping electric and they're going right to hydrogen. And I'm like, okay, when?
And the other good thing, Bosch is a by origin and everything, it's a German company. So we have a lot of factories across Europe, but we have several factories in the United States, like this hydrogen technology. They built a factory here to build these converters here. We build our oxygen sensors. We build a lot of them over here. I mean, it's not just bringing it in from Europe or bringing it from China. We do build quite a few products right here in the States. It's pretty cool.
Love that. Well, I think you guys are doing everything right. I did see your booth at Apex, and that was pretty impressive. You guys had one of the better designs, but you also had these awesome demonstrations with like the wiper blades, and it really feels like you guys care about education for the consumer, and just your kind of distributors as well. Everybody seems to know, and you guys took over the Sphere too.
Yeah,
That
that was
was
pretty
impressive.
cool, the sphere. Yeah. I remember when I landed on the plane out there, I didn't know what the sphere was, and when the cab was taking me from the airport to the hotel, I was like, what the heck is this
What
picture?
the heck? When did that come about? Yeah, I think my hotel room actually looked straight at it, and I was like, wow, this thing is really creepy. And then you guys had the eye and then the windshield wiper blade. But you guys are doing fantastic. I think the mission is awesome. I think that the investment that you're making in actually providing, OE parts, even though, they're not necessarily called that, but you guys are meeting the same standards, is phenomenal. So appreciate that. And I appreciate you, using your experience to actually help educate people with Fred Talks. So where can people learn more about you and what you're producing?
Well, if you just go out to Google and, like I said, Google in Fred Talks, or if you went to BoschAutoParts.com, our corporate webpage thing, there is a Fred Talks there, and you can, select what videos we've got, and you can watch them there if you want. That's,
Fantastic.
I guess, the best that I could tell you on that.
Hey, well, I'm definitely going to check them out. We'll be sharing those as well in the links on this episode, and we'd love to have you back soon to talk about maybe starters or just those other specialties that you've actually shared on Fred Talks. We'd be happy to have the content as well.
Sure. I'd be happy to do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Fred. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Take care, Mark.
All right, and thank you for listening. Tune in next time for more in the garage at carparts.com.